We were discussing the Tzachi
Bekovia, Psulei Destrabanan, and we were discussing, last week we discussed Melech, Malchi Yehuda, Malchi Beis David, and especially the Rambam's all-around intriguing view on all sides that, you know, both the fact that the Rambam expands the Psul, or put it this way, the exclusion of Melech from Eidos, even if it isn't the Psul, my diuk was, it's not in Perek Tes, it's not in Perek Aleph, it's a function, I believe, of not having a Chiyuv Agada ever, unlike Kohen Gadol, who has a limited one. And then I thought that was very meduyak also in Hilchos Melachim, and this is all very, very important for the Rambam. And then the other additional point that we discussed towards the end was the stira between the Rambam and Hilchos Shavuos, where he's more expansive, and then in Hilchos Shkagos he seems to say that a Melech does have a Korban Shavuos Eidos, and we tried to explain, or at least I tried to explain, again, the Farshim explain, based on Hechetimtzis, we're talking about, you know, before he was a Melech, to when he was a Melech in matters of Isurim, things of that sort. And I was suggesting that really this is, you know, the Rambam at his, you know, organizational, up to his organizational, you know, kind of facility, where he is basically telling us that from a Hilchos Shkagos point of view, in terms of Korbanos, you know, the Gavra Melech is no different than anybody else when it comes to Korbanos Ola V'Yored, unlike Chatos Kvua. And from that point of view, he's certainly in the Parsha of Shavuos Eidos. And then he says, Ukvar Biarnu B'Hilchos Shavuos. And by the way, look in Hilchos Shavuos, and then you'll know whether yes or no. But from the perspective of Shkagos, Minhorios, you know, from that point of view, he's all in. If he's not, it's because technically doesn't qualify from a Hilchos Eidos point of view and from a Hilchos Shavuos point of view. And that is, I think, what the Rambam has in mind. And we talked a little bit from there about the Rambam's work. And as I said, it's both written, you know, for its time, but even more so written for all time. It's a timeless work, I guess one should say. And therefore, it's a conceptual, really, presentation of, you know, in comprehensive fashion. But the organization is used basically to present things in a conceptually compelling way. And this is a great example of it. So you can have almost a stira, it's not quite a stira, but an apparent stira between Hilchos Eidos, Hilchos Shavuos, Hilchos Shkagos. But you also have to consider, again, if I'm right, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But if I'm correct, so then you always have to consider, you know, what the focus of the Rambam is in a particular place. And in that respect, I think that the Rambam's language is actually very precise. And he's making very important points. Anyways, that's what we did the last couple of weeks. And now we're going to move on to the Gemara here on Lamed, based on what we've done, some of the intervening Gemaras. So I think we're really basically at... it seems like we're skipping, but we're not. We've actually done the in-between. So, yeah. I'd say we sometimes, you know, take a little bit of a circuitous route, but hopefully we get there. So the Gemara here on Lamed Beis Amid Aleph is going on the Mishnah. So go back to the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. We've seen this Mishnah as well. The Mishnah says, but Bezeh Achar Zeh HaRishon Chayiv HaSheni Patur. What that means is if you have two Edim, if you look here at the Mishnah, that's towards the bottom of the Mishnah. Mishnah says the following. Kafru Shneim Ke'echad, you see the Oz Tess of the Rambam, right? Kafru Shneim Ke'echad, Shneim Chayav. Bezeh Achar Zeh, HaRishon Chayiv HaSheni Patur. Okay, and we'll talk more about the rest of the Mishnah going forward. So what does that mean? If Kafru Shneim Ke'echad means that both of the Edim, or both of the potential Edim, are confronted at the same time, right? And the, you know, request that they come in, that they supply testimony in this case where their testimony is consequential, is made bevasachas. It's made in one, at one time. And both of them lie, right? They both deny it. They both say, we don't know anything about this case. And they lie, right, with a shvua. Shvua says, edus mi piacherin, mi piatzma, whichever it is. So in that situation, shneem chayavin. Since both of them, right, are they're approached as a unit, right, as a unit they could be consequential, and they refuse, they suppress their testimony in a manner which therefore detrimentally affects the dine mamonis outcome. So the result is that shneem chayavim. They both equally bear full responsibility, right? And that's a korban, that's a classic case of korban shvuas eidos. However, what would happen if the kat, if the two eidim, were approached independently? Right? So that's the next line of the Mishnah. Bazeh achar zeh, so harishon chayiv, the first one's chayiv because he could band together with Reuven as chayiv, because Reuven could join with Shimon, and he could make a difference in this case. But Shimon, right, who was approached a half an hour later, or 10 minutes, or an hour, it doesn't really matter, or 5 days later, or whatever it is, right, already can't make a difference, because Reuven has already denied any knowledge. So at this point, there's no one, you know, for him, or with whom he can connect to be affected. So the Mishnah says that in that case, Harishon Chayev, the eight Harishon, right, who takes himself out of the mix, is Chayev, but the eight Hasheni is Potter. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Okay. Good. Then I'll just add one more line. Then Kafar Echad, Bahuda Echad, right, if one denied, the first one denied, and the second one admitted, so Kofar Chayev, obviously the Kofar would be Chayev, the Moda isn't going to be Chayev, because he is telling the truth, and he's willing to come forward. Okay. The last case we'll leave, even though it's a very fascinating case, and we're going to get to it, but we'll leave it for the moment. Okay. So the Gemara here on Lamed Beis, Amud Aleph, Bezeh Charzeh HaRishon Chayev HaSheni Patur, makes the following comment. We've seen this Gemara also, but I want to analyze the Erechad part of it now. Masnisin delo ki haitano. The Gemara says this Mishnah is not going to make sense according to a particular Tana. The Tanya Mashbiya Erechad Patur, that's what our Mishnah also says, but Rabbi Lazar Rab Shimon is Mechayiv. Rabbi Lazar Rab Shimon took the position that Mashbiya Eid Echad, if you, again, request an Eid Echad come forward to testify, and he denies it, and he swears falsely, so under those conditions, Rabbi Lazar Rab Shimon says he's Chayiv Korban Shvuas Eidos, and the Tanakhama, like our Mishnah, says he's Potter. So all the Gemara is saying so far is that our Mishnah, right, is Shalo Aliba de Rabbi Lazar Rab Shimon. Okay, that's fine, that's good, that's clear. Except that, this is the first time that we ever heard of this view of Rabbi Elazar Rab Shimon. So the Gemara is going to analyze it, like, what's this Rabbi Elazar Rab Shimon all about? After all, Bepashtus, what the Mishnah says here, and what the Tanakhama says there, is very compelling. Namely, why would an Eid Echad b'chai b'korban shvuas eidos, right, we all know that an Eid Echad alone cannot affect the case. Or so we think we know, right? So the Gemara says, Leima b'ha kamiflini. Let us say that the debate, right, revolves around the following. Demar savar Eid Echad kiyasa l'shua wahuda ka'asa. Umar savar Eid Echad kiyasa lima mona ka'asa. The debate is whether Eid Echad comes to be mechayiv shua or to be mechayiv mamo. Wow. So the question is, this is not going to last very long in the Gemara, meaning this perspective on what it is that Rabbi Elazar Rab Shimon says is not going to, it's not going to make the final cut, as we'll see in a moment. They're going to revise their understanding of Rabbi Elazar Rab Shimon. But if we freeze this frame for a moment, right, we need to understand, as a Hava Mina, what the Gemara was thinking. Right, Rabbi Elazar Rab Shimon really holds that Eid Echad kiyasa l'mamona ka'asa? Right? So Rashi and the Rimigash debate what this means. Okay, I didn't get a chance to send in the sheet, but we'll do it for next week. there's plenty to occupy us in the Gemara, or the related Gemaras today, but I am going to read to you at least the language of the Rimigash. So Rashi takes this Gemara literally. Rashi says that when the Gemara says, according to Ablazer Bam Shimon, at this point, that Eidechad Kiyasa L'mamona Ka'asa, they mean it. That's a breakthrough in view, in even as a Havamina, in Shas, right? That there's a Mandamar holds Eidechad is Mechayiv Mamon. That's what Rashi says. Look at Rashi. Mar Sover L'mamona Asa, V'dorish Kra Hachi, L'chol Avona L'kol Chatas, right? Dahainu, Lamakos va'onshim, right? Who de enokam? That's why Eidechad is enokam. Eidechad is ineffective when it comes to, right? L'kol avon l'kol chatas, meaning actually makos and onshin. Aval kamu l'mamon. Wow. Rashi thinks that the Gemara at this point thinks that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon thinks that Eidechad is mechayiv mamon, just not avon and chatas. The Rimigash, as I say, disagrees. You don't have it in front of you, unless you do, but not thanks to me anyway. So let me just read to you the language of the Rimigash very quickly. Mar savar yachad kiyasa lemamonasa shaharei eduso reuya shetitztareif aleha edus acheres v'yischayv ba nitva mamon. The Rimigash went out of his way not to interpret the Gemara. Let's say it this way. The simple reading of the words, the pshat, I guess, unvarnished pshat of the Gemara is like Rashi. The problem with it is, you know, hayitachein. Is it possible that someone really holds that Eidechad is Mechayev Mamon directly? Right? It goes against everything, you know, that we were trained to, you know, to think and to believe. Now, again, it's not the end of the world because our training and our belief is still intact. Because, you know, we certainly don't paskin like Rabbi Elazar Bam Shimon. And in the end, you know, in a minute, the Gemara is going to retract and say that that's not what he meant anyway. But, you know, we kind of rebel a little bit even against the thought that there's even a legitimate possibility that Eidechad is directly Mechayiv Mamon. At least, I know that I do. So, even though that is the simple pshat of the Gemara, and that's what motivated Rashi, can't criticize Rashi for translating the words of the Gemara. In the end of the day, what's interesting is that the Rimigash, you know, because, again, he thought it was so inconceivable that there would even be a Havamina, that there would be a view that would hold this way, so he reinterpreted what that line in the Gemara meant. And what he meant, according to the Rimigash, was no one ever thought that Eidechad independently can be Mechayiv Mamon. What they thought was that Eidechad formally, legally, belongs to the world of Chiyuv Mamon, if you will, right? Because he's Roy, Lehitztaref, Lekat Eidus. If there were another Eid Kosher, he could join forces. Now, the truth is that once you have the Rimigash, you know, the question, that's only Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, right? Maybe that's really true. That's number one. To what extent is that even really true, on the one hand? On the other hand, there's a tremendous chiddush for the Rimigash. Rimigash avoids the chiddush that anybody really holds Eidechad is Mechayiv Mamon. But he has to then acknowledge, I wouldn't say an equally weighty chiddush, but certainly another chiddush, and that is that there was at least a view in the Gemara, and then the question is whether there are echoes of that lalacha, that you could be chayiv a korban shvua sa'edus without a befoal chiyuv mamon. Everybody with me? In other words, Rashi is reading the Gemara Kipshuto, and the chiddush in Rashi is not in the words, but it's in the idea that anybody could hold Eidechad as mechayiv mamon. However, once you concede that, right, the application to korban shvua sa'edus is also a davar pashut. Meaning, according to Rabbi Elazar Bar Shimon, Eidechad is Mechayiv Mamon, and therefore Eidechad can be Mechayiv Korban Shvuas Eidos. Of course. If really his silence costs the case, because if he had come, he alone would have won the case, then there should be a Korban Shvuas Eidos. So there's no Chiddush in Hilchos Shavuos. There's only a Chiddush, not only, there's a bigger Chiddush in Hilchos Eidos, and there's zero Chiddush in Hilchos Shavuos. But for the Rimigash, the exact opposite is true. right? There's no chiddush in Hilchos Eidos that anybody, even in Ahava Amina, thinks Aydachar is Mechayev Mamon. But because of that, and therefore you have to reread the Gemara a little bit, when the Gemara says Aydachar Kiyasa Mamona Kaasa, it's a purely conceptual statement. Again, it's another piece of evidence that sometimes, right, the Shaklavitari of the Gemara, or the halachic thinking, can be purely conceptual. Because before all this, Eidachot is not Mechayiv Mamon. So what do we mean by the words, Eidachot ki asa l'mamona kasa? What we mean is that you may not be able to emotzi Mamon with him, but basically what he is a force of Chiyuv Mamon. And the second, even bigger chiddush is that that formal status, even though it doesn't translate into befoal, is sufficient for the chiyuv of korban shvuos eidos. Wow. Right? So again, the question that we've been tracking all year round, which is, to what extent is korban shvuos eidos a formal din and a hilchos shvuos din? Be sure you need a shame aid, right? And there has to be some sort of choshen mishpat framework, right? Because otherwise it doesn't qualify. But in the end of the day, it's an Easter kind of, it's a hafla kind of a din. For a shame aid to be, you know, not only coming, not only refraining from coming forward, but also lying about it, right, with a shvua, right, is a particularly egregious hafla violation, right? And as such, he's chai, right? Or no, the choshen mishpat component, the fact that there's a real, you know, hefsed mamon right here, is part of, or maybe the main point in the mechayev of korban shvuos eidos. It's more of a din in hilchos eidos and in hilchos, let's say, chavala or nizke mamon, right, than it is a din in hilchos shvuos, although it's only, right, bederech shvua. This is what we've been discussing all year round. So in a way, you know, Rashi, you know, both for pshat reasons maybe, and maybe also for korban shvuos eidos reasons, right, basically sticks to the normal narrative that korban shvuos eidos certainly requires a befoal hefsed mamon, right, consequence. But the Rimigash, in interpreting this line in the Gemara, does not. The Rima Gash is saying, Eidachot Kiyasa L'mamona Kasa is a conceptual, not a practical statement. A, that's assumption number one. And assumption number two, he's saying that that conceptual description, right, is a sufficient basis for the Chi of Korban Shvuos Eidos, even though there's no before Mamon. Now, the question becomes, right, in a minute we're going to see that the Gemara turns its back on all of this. But to what extent are these two perspectives still alive and well in the world of halacha? Right? Both for Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, and maybe even beyond. Meaning, is it really true that on a certain conceptual level, Eidachot is Mechayiv Mamon, even though Lemaisa Befoal, right, we're not actually Motzi Mamon Ayde Eidachot, maybe we always look at Eidachot as half a kat, or at least as a shame aid, or as Chefza Shel Eidos. Those are three different points I just made. I'll discuss them more fully. May all three, one of the three, two of the three, meaning to what extent, right, even in the end of this sugya and even outside of Rabbi Shimon, do we look at Eidachot Beshua as a form of Eidos? Okay? And if we qualify that, you know, how qualified is it? We could say that it's Eidos Gemura, practically. Maybe shouldn't say Gemura and practically, with the exception that Shnayim Eidim is MS. Shnayim Eidim is truth. We've spent a lot of time this year already trying to explain that the Torah invested tremendous credibility, right? Authenticity, you know, Cheskas Kashrus in Eidos. Right? We consider Eidos to be truth. Even though we know that there's a percentage of people who lie, there's a percentage of people who are delusional, we dismiss all of that alpidin, right, and treat Eidos, that's why Trey is Kameya, we discussed all of this, Maimed Har Sinai, you know, is a function of Eidos, but, you know, Eidos of 600,000, but doesn't matter, because Trey Kameya. And Basically, the Rambam says this in Hilchos Yisroel and Torah. So, on the one hand, there's one aspect of Eidos which apparently is missing, as Gzeiros HaKasuv, or for logical reasons. The Nesivos, I've mentioned this in the past, has a line in which he, in Siman Lamed Aleph, where he says, well, why is Eid Echad really not Mechayev Mamon? Why shouldn't he be Mechayev Mamon? Okay. A question which is a dubious question. I mean, you know, maybe a better question is, why are Shnayim Eidim considered to be a fact? Right? But I guess the opposite is of that question is, if you believe two, and you believe two like 100, and two like 1,000,000, then maybe you should believe one like two, right? If you don't believe Jews lie. So, okay, it's Gzeiros. There's a very interesting Tshuva Natash Beit, maybe we'll bring it in for next week, in Siman Ayin Zayin, where he talks about different perspectives, why Dafka Shnayim made him not Eid Echad. Very interesting. But the Nesivos also, in the Ksos has a piece in which he says Gzeiros HaKasuv. The Tashbates discusses that much earlier, obviously. But the Nesiva says the reason Eid Echad is not sufficient and you not require Shnayim Eidim is because there's always a bididami factor, in Eidos. Meaning, people can be, their imagination can get the best of them. Or, if you want to say it less charitably, you might say, people are sometimes delusional. Right? So the idea in the Nesivos, this is kind of what, he doesn't say it exactly this way, but this is basically what he's saying, is that two Eidim, filter out the delusions. And I think the point is, people don't have these same, people are not imaginative or delusional in the same way, right? Everybody has their own mishigas, I guess you could say. The point is that having two Eidim, right, eliminates the fear that you might be trying to tell the truth, but your imagination got the best of you, or your delusions. Anyways, the point is that for whatever reason, whether it's Gzeiros HaKasuv, whether it's about delusion, whether it's about Chashash Rachok of Sheker, Rachok Rachok of Sheker, whatever it is, in the end of the day, two are better than one. So probably the best you can say about one is that it's still missing that elevated status that the halacha gave to two, namely the idea that this is unchallenged, all things being equal, unless you have akhasha, razama, or din maruma, or reasons, or chash shekers, which form psuleidos, it's certainly not emes. Eid Echad is not emes. But it still might be Eidos. And here, as I say, it can break down. Is there any element? Is he already Omeid Le'Eidos? Omeid Le'Tziruf? Or you say, no, when he has a partner, we'll call him Eidim. Until then, he's nothing. Or do you say, oh, one more to go? He's a partner in waiting. Is there a Chalos Omeid Le'Tziruf Eidos? Is he half a Kant? Right? Is he an Eid already? A Shame Eid? Is his testimony called Chefza Shel Eidos already? Right, these are different, I think there are different ways, these are helpful distinctions, A, because they do exist, when you just break down the components of Eidos. Right, there is Eidos, there's a Gavra Eid, there is Chefza Shel Eidos, there's a concept of Kat, there's a concept of Emes. So these are all components in Eidos, and it's legitimate to be speculating what Eid Echad has and what it's missing, but it also is helpful in distinguishing. If we find Eid Echad is considered Eidos for one halacha, not for another, what about for Chovas Haggadah? And what about for Korban Shavuos Eidos, which is what we're talking about, right now? And what about for Kiblo Olai? And what about for the prohibition of Losana? And what about for Hazama? Right, and what about for Batal Maktasa, Batal Kula? For many, many issues, some of which we'll explore, right? The question of what the status of Eid Echad is a very, compelling question. And if the evidence ends up being complex or mixed, in other words, if I could show you that the Rambam or the Ramban or the Rajbo or the Bali Tosis or whoever it is, or the whatever it is, or the Ksos, in eight things treat it like Eidos, but not in nine and ten, not nine and the tenth, or vice versa. Right? It would be helpful, right, to be able to break down Eidus in this way, to say, you know what? He's a potential eight, or he's omed Leos Chelek Menakat. Or he's a Gavre eight, but it's not yet Chapta Shel Eidus, and so on and so forth. Okay. So the point is that for Rashi, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and this frozen frame in the Gemara that Eidachon is Mechayiv Mamon, right, ends up being, you know, like a radical, fascinating possibility, very radical idea, but one which, on a Befoal level, is completely rejected in the next lines of the Gemara, as we'll explain. And it also leaves us with no better off than we were before in terms of any kind of perspective on Karban Shavuos Eidus, because, as I said, that line of, once you say one, saying the other is no chiddush. But for the Rimi Gash, who basically says that the words Eid Echad B'chayiv Mamon can apply when Befoal it doesn't, merely as a description of the status of Eid Echad. So that leaves us wondering, right, to what extent that might not be true in general. Right? And we'll see evidence l'kan l'kan. Moreover, since the Rimi Gash has to at least acknowledge at this point in the Gemara that you can have Korban Shavuos Eidus without Befoal, right, Hefsed Mamon, so to what extent, you know, does that continue to reverberate in our discussions of Korban Shavuos Eidus? Right, will there be other cases as well? We've talked about many cases where you have Befoal, Hefsed Mamon, without a Shem Eid, right? Things like Kiblo Alai and other cases that we talked about, Nashim and Psulim, you know, who are effective in certain cases without a Shem Eid. What about the opposite? What about a situation where you have a Shem Eid, but you don't have a Befoal Chiyuv Shavuos Eidus? Right? I'm sorry, Befoal Chiyuv in Choshen Mishpat. So this would be something that would be very important to try to pin down and try to figure out. Okay. So, I've said that the Gemara rejects it, so let's just see where the Gemara rejects it. So the Gemara says, V'tizbra, is it possible that this is the case? Hamar Abaya, Hakomodim, Abaya said that Hakomodim, everybody agrees, Be'ed Sota, Hakomodim Be'ede Sota, Machlokos Be'ede Sota. This is obviously a very difficult braisa to read, but the Gemara is going to break it down for us in a minute. Hakomodim Be'ed Echad, Hakomodim Be'ed Shekenegdo, Choshen Ala Shvua. So, for the moment, what the Gemara is trying to say about this braisa is that everybody agrees when you have everybody agrees about Eid Echad, and everybody agrees that Eid Shekenegdo Choshud Ala Shvua, meaning a regular Eid Echad is not Chayv Karban Shvua's Eidus, only an Eid Shekenegdo Choshud Ala Shvua. And the Gemara will explain what that means. Look at Rashi just for a minute. The Tizbra de Bechayv Rablozer Rab Shim and Mamun Alpi Eid Echad, the Tamim Shemachiyu, Amrabaya Hakomodim Beit Sota Hakomodim Beit Sota Mefarish Lekaman Hachi. This is the pshat. Yesh Eidus Besota. We'll see in a moment. Shakomodim Bo Shemashbi Eid Echad Chayev. Yesh Eidus Besota Shafem Mishbia Shneim Bekafru Pturin. Umachlokas Beide Sota. Yesh Eidus Besota Shenachu Bechachamim Rab Lozem Rab Shimo. Bemashbia Shneim Bekafru. Right. Bemachlosam Shenachu. B'mashbiya eid echad de mamon, we may prush the mustabai l'kaman shamina tamid rab lazar mishum the kasavar davar gor the mamon k'mamon dami eid echad gorin the mamon who shilu who eid hayim chayvo shvua v'ro bnei adam ein mishboim l'sheker v'hayim b'shach. So basically, this brisa, which talks about breaking down these five cases, which we're going to discuss in just a second, seems to assume that everybody agrees that a typical eid echad who's only Mechayev Shvua is not going to be Chayev Korban Shvua Sa'idus, unless it's Midin, what we call Dovar HaGorim L'mamon, which we've talked about already previously, not the typical Dovar HaGorim L'mamon of the rest of Shas, which is Rab Shimon's view of Kachim Shchai Bachar Yusan, but maybe a connected, most many Rishonim think they are connected, I think that when it could have argued it's a Melitza Bialma and it's really not connected, probably it needs to be connected in some way with a common denominator, but still different. But either way, okay. So now the Gemara is going to break this down. So the Gemara says as follows. El Kula Alma Eidakot Kiyasa Deshuva Kasi. Right? But again, so for Rashi, that's very easy to read the Gemara. Right? Meaning no one really holds, even Rabbi Elazar bar Shimon, that Eidakot is Befoal Mechayiv Mamon. Everybody agrees that Befoal, in actuality, it's only Mechayiv Deshuva. Right? For the Rimigash, right, this is a less obvious turnaround. Because what's so terrible about thinking, as long as you're not saying that Eidachod is Mechayev Mamon Befoal, what's so terrible about thinking that Eidachod conceptually belongs to the world of Chiyuv Mamon? As we see, as we will see, there's plenty of evidence, you know, that implies that. So maybe, ironically, the Rimigash, who in the Hava Mina introduces this notion, is Dafka the one who is going to see it as, you know, rejected, whereas the other Rishonim, who started off with a much higher, say Rashi, starts off with Chiyuv Mamon Befoal, may, ironically, Lamaskana, be able to embrace the Rimigash's Kiyasala Mamona. Okay? Everybody with me? Good. Okay. So anyways, let's follow through just in the Shakti Vitaya first. Bahaka Bahaka Miflagi. So what is the machlokus about Eidachod? If everybody agrees that it's only the Shvua Kasi in each of these ways, so the answer is about Mar Sava Davar Gar the Mamon Kemamon Dami, Mar Sava Lav Kemamon Dami. Again, this newfangled Kemamon Dami. And what is the Kemamon? Like Rashi explained, the idea that if Eidachod shows up in court, so maybe the other fellow will be queasy, he won't want to take a Shvua, right? And he'll admit. Certainly, if he is guilty, he won't want to lie, so he'll admit it. But, you know, that the Eidachod doesn't guarantee the money, so in that respect, he's not Mechayev Mamon, right? But he could be Gorim Lamamon because in 50% of the cases, his presence will matter, or 30% or 60%, whatever it is that makes something Gorim Lamamon. Okay, very good. So, of course, that's an interesting question, too. And that is, does Korban Shvua Sa'edus require, this is almost like, you know, the opposite camp, kind of situation. You know, what level of Choshem, was both, what level of Choshem Mishpat does it require? And what level of Tochen of Mamon does it require? That could be the question of Dovra Gorim Limam. Okay? Okay. So then the Gemara elaborates what it meant in that very difficult price. A gufa. Amrabaya, hako modem be'ed sota, hako modem be'ede sota, machlokas be'ede sota, hako modem be'ed echad, hako modem be'ed shekeneg the koshel al-shul. So one of these cases, let's start with each one. Hakol modem be'ed sota, shechayev be'ed tuma. Drachmana hemne, dechsiv eid ein ba, kol sheyesh ba. The first case is a case where everybody agrees that Eid Echad will be Chayav a Korban Shuas Eidos. That's the case of Eid Echad Besota Betuma. In other words, you have Kinui Ustira, right? You have already, you know, the woman is warned, right? Subsequent to that, you know, she is, you know, there's the concept of Stira, or in context of Kinui, if you have Eid Echad Betuma, an Echad who actually witnesses her infidelity, right? So that's called Eid Echad Betuma. So in that case, Hemne Rachmana, the Torah believes in, because it says the Eid Ein Ba, right? Kol Sheyesh Ba. So since there is a Ksuva consequence to that Eidos, so if the Eid Tuma, right, who is, you know, on his own, in other words, is going to be machriya when it comes to the money of the ksuva, if he suppresses his testimony, if he lies about his, you know, ignorance of the case, so that's a classic case of korban shvuas eidos. Okay? Now, of course, there's still a bit of a chiddush here, because one could have said, that one could have said that you know, Erechot Besota is you know, nemanus. It's a certain kind of nemanus that is effective. It's not so clear that it's a regular din of Eidos. So is the Gemara here telling us that whenever you have a befoal chiyuv and a gavra aid, right, somebody who's royal Eidos, that's certainly sufficient for carbon shvus Eidos, even if it's not midin Eidos, right? Or are we saying that Eidachot Besota is a form of Eidos?
Okay. Why isn't a woman from Eidosota then?
Why what?
It's not a din of Eidos. And a woman should be for the Eid Echad that she saw the husband Nistara.
Right, so that is a big, that's a big issue. Right, that's a big question. Who's going to be believed? What about Eid Mipied? What about, these are questions in there are three, essentially three categories. Right, these are the three, Egla Rufa, right, Misa Sabal, and Eid Echad Besota. So in that whole discussion, we do sometimes accept psulim. So the again, when it comes to korban shvuas ha'edus, which I think is what you're raising, so the gedolei achronim mostly assume that whatever the Gemara says here is limited to edim ksheir. You know, even though psulim will work in edakha b'misabal and in egla rufa and in sota, that they will not be mechayev a korban shvuas eidos. That's the view of the Mishnah LeMelech. That's the view of Rabbi Kiveger, the Menchas Chinuch. Shagas Aryeh doesn't hold this way. And again, there are a few other exceptions, people who don't hold this way. But that's how some of the Achronim explain, you know, why does it Noshim are specifically mentioned in the Mishnah, you know, of in the beginning of the Parak, you know, why not just say Psulim? Because there is, you know, this notion that even though Noshim are actually Nemonos Befoal in certain cases, that since they don't have a shame aid, even in those cases, that it's still inadequate for the Chiyuv Karban Shvuas Eidos. So that really depends on that debate. It really depends on that debate. The question is, can you have, you can basically have three shitas. Is it sustainable to think that even if Ksherim and Psulim both work where Eid Echad works, let's say in those three cases, whether it be Daraisa or Drabano, let's assume Daraisa for the moment, is it sustainable to think that there are two tracks? In other words, that when you have Ksherim, then we're dealing with Eidos, even though it's only Eid Echad. But when you have Psulim, then it's only a din of Nemanus. Right, and therefore you'll have these Navkamina. And there's a question about Korban Shvuas Eidos. It's a question in the Achronim about Chiyuv Agada, and about Hazama, and about Osana. It's an across-the-board question in these cases, in all these three cases. You also might be mechalik between the cases. In other words, these three cases are generally associated together. That's where Ula said his famous halacha, right? Kamakom shemina haTorah echad hareikan shnayim. There's some evidence in the Rambam that there might be reason to be mechalik in terms of the relationship between ksherim and psulim between the three, between Misa Sabal, Eid Echad, Egla Rufa, and Sota. But it's a parallel question, just the question how you divide it up. But that's really the issue. Yeah.
By Eid Echad, the concern is not being Mavsi the Ksuba. He's going to be Mechayim for Mayim Morim. This is a Nefashos case.
Yeah, but that's not Korban Shuas Eidos. There's no Korban Shuas Eidos in Nefashos. We're talking about here in Korban.
Who cares about Korban Shuas Eidos? The Eidos.
But that's what we're talking about here.
But the Eidos only wants to be Mechayim for Misa, perhaps.
Okay. Is all okay? No. But remember what we're talking about. We're talking about a situation where
there's an Eid Echad.
You have somebody who approaches an Eid Echad and says, I need you to come to court, or I insist you come to court and testify what you know. Okay. The Eid Echad takes a shvua and says, I don't know anything. We want to know that shvua, right? Nefesh ki sishava be, I mean, nefesh ki sechet av shama kol Allah, v'ueno ro yadem lo yagid v'nasav, oh no, we want to know, in that case, when the person lies with a shua, whether he's chayv, korban shua sedus. For that to be, that's what this Gemara is talking about, that's what the Braise is talking about.
Eight sota, though.
Eight sota. So let's say, the Baal goes over to the eight sota and says, you know the truth. You know that there was tumah here. And the guy says, I don't know anything. And then he says, Majbiani aleichem. Right? Yep. And the guy lies. Now we want to know, does that person who lies obligated to be a korban shua seder? That's what this price is about.
Of course, but the husband's not interested in the ksuba. He wants to bring her to the coin. It
doesn't matter what he's interested in, but we still want to know, and of course, we still want to know. And the guy is chayv korban shua seder for the lie that he told or not.
That's not,
it's
not a mammon situation here.
It is a mammon. If it wasn't a mammon situation, we wouldn't be discussing korban shua seder. We're not talking about the testimony that he does or doesn't give. We're talking about his statement that he doesn't know testimony. Do you understand? Now, whether or not he could turn around and end up, you know, I don't want to get into Kim Shingat Shuvah Dechozer Amagin now. It depends where he makes his statement. That's also part of the Mishnah that we just read. But this is this has nothing to do with the Eidus in the case. The Eidus in the case just figures in to the quality of the Sheker Al Yedei Shvuah, right, that was told to avoid the case. That's all about korban shua seder. To be at all about korban shua seder, there has to be a mamon component. And here it's the ksuba. Right? Misa sabal, it's also the ksuba. Right? Yeah. Sorry? Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get into that right now. It's a whole Indian. Yeah, a whole Indian of that. Okay. So again, Tosas here. If you look here, Tosas, Eino Eid Yochal Lomar Below Eiduse Aide Kinu Ustira Tishta V'Tamus B'Potter Balam in Aksuva. Tosas says, you know, it's not just all on me, right? The Eidachot says I lied. Okay, but why should I bring a korban shua seidus? Right, right. Without me, right through Eide Kinui and Stira. Tishta v'talmus v'ipater balam and aksuva. Right, so it's also, you know, we're looking for something that is self sufficient, dependent upon an eid echad. Tosa says the harbe pa'amim schus tola v'nifsedes, right, al yidei ha'ed yosim mashin nifsedes al yidei stira. Mishum dikin lemeimar shema schus yiklala v'lachshivi ala garmin. Right, it doesn't always work kinu yistira. And shtia, because sometimes that's a miraculous process, and you know the Rabbanu Shalom has his own cheshbonos. But the question is an interesting question, and the conclusion is an interesting conclusion. Okay, so that's one. What's the second case? So hakamon beit sota shechayiv beit tuma drachman hamne, as we just said, and then as we just noted that there's a machlokas in the Achronim, whether we'd be mechalik between Eid Kosher, Eid Pasul, Nemanus, Eidus, and so on. Again, certainly in Eid Kosher, at minimum, the Gemara is saying it's a Korban Shuas Eidus. Again, is that because it is Nemanus, but we don't care because it's Befoal, or is it because it must be Eidus? Right, that's part of the story. The next case is Hakomonu Be'edei Soda Shepatur. So the Gemara says that's a case of Eidei Kinui. Only Eidei Kinui. Right? And that is because the Have Goreim, the Goreim. Because Eidei Kinui alone doesn't do anything. Right? You need the Kinui, you know, and the Stira, right, at minimum for the process of Shtias Me'amarim. Right? Umachlokes Be'edei Sota. That's Be'edei Stira. Let's say I already have Eidei Kinui. So now you have Eidei Stira. So Mar Savar Davargon the Mamun Kamamundami, the Chaye. Mar Savar Lav Kamamundami, Upatra. In other words, Eide Kinui is Goreim de Goreim, it's too distant. And a stira is at least gorim. They're comparing that to, let's say, eid echad b'shvua, the machlokas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and the Chachamim, l'fi maskana. And remember that that was also the discussion of the Rajba, right? The Rajba was saying, maybe psulei eidus drabanan, like Masachik Bekuvia, right? Maybe, you know, their presence in court, will inspire the other guy to admit. So even though midrabanan, we don't accept their testimony, that was the second day in the Rajba, if you remember, on Lamed Aleph from Aleph, when the Rajba was asking, where's the Hefsid Mamon, according to Rapapa? Rapapa says, right, that Melech is excluded from Roy Lahayid, but Mesachik Bekuvia min Araisa Mechsechazi, Berabanan Udafkua. So the question is, who cares? And at the end of the day, the Edom are ineffective. Right, so the first answer of the Rajba was a very big Kiddush, that Edim, Psulim, Drabanan are effective, L'inyan Tvisa. And the second day was, no, this is like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, the Dover are going to the Mamun, come on, now. So according to the Rajba, you have three cases. You have the case of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Eid Echad. You have the case of Eid Stira, right? And you also have the case of Mesachik Bekuvia, according to our Papa. Okay. So, and as I say, all this is so interesting because, as the Rajba is the one who asks, we don't do we paskin Dover Gorin? Does it really depend on the Machlokas, Rav Shimon, and the Chachamim, whether Dover Gorin, the Mamun, Kamamadami? Is it really the same exact issue or common denominator? But either way, certainly, this is what the Gemara says about Sota. Then the Gemara gets to Eid Echad. Now we're getting back to Eid Echad. The Gemara says, here. Hakomodim v'shekeneg v'choshen al ha-shvuah, and hakomodim be'eid echad dirab abba. Everybody agrees in two eid echad and mamon cases that you're going to be chayv a korban shvuas ha-eidus. Right? What are those two cases? So the first is shekeneg v'choshen al ha-shvuah, and the other one is rab abba. What are those cases? Hakomodim v'shekeneg v'choshen al ha-shvuah. So this is the Gemara d'choshed man. Who's chashud? Right, somebody is suspect about being a neman, and therefore is excluded from taking a shvuah. Who is suspect? So the Gemara says, "Ilema de chashid lova." Right, meaning that in a deraisa shvuah, it's the lova who has to be nishba. Right, because the lova is the nitva. Right, in our Torah there are three shvuahs. Right. In Toyin v'Nitan type Shvuah, Eid Echad, Shvuah Sashomrim, and Moda v'Miktsas, and they're all Nishba v'Niftar, Nishba v'Nitva v'Niftar, meaning the defendant, in all cases, swears, and that's how he exempts himself from any obligation. So the Gemara is saying here, what's the case? The Chashid Man, Ilemi, the Chashid Lova, right? So the Malva, right, imposes a shvuah upon the lova, and the lova can't take the shvuah because he is a chashid. The chachamim, or the bezdin, will not let him take the shvuah because he's a chashid al hashvuah. So the amalei malva, iosis ashadasli, avimishtabana, vishakilna. So what would happen here? So the rule is that the Rabbanan, in such a case, imposed what we call the Shuas Nishba Venotel, right, which is the seventh parak of Shuas. So so what happens here? The Malva turns to this Eid Echad, and he says, listen, come testify in my behalf. That'll only trigger a Chiyuv Shuah. It'll trigger a Chiyuv Shuah, but this guy can't take the Shuah. Right? So the Shuah is going to be switched on to me, right? A nishba v'notel, and I'll take the shvuah and I'll win. That's what it means. Domele malva I osis ashadas li. If you come to court and testify for me, ava mishtabana v'shakilna, I'll be able to take a shvuah, nishba v'notel, and then I'll be able to collect the money. So the Gemara says that if that's all that we're talking about, it's not such a hakol modim, because v'le malay, let the aid say to the malve, or to the person who imposed the shvuah upon him, right, I didn't cause you a hefsed mamon, because mi emar de mishtabas. You know, you're talking a good game now, but until you actually are nishba in Bezdin, who says you're going to go through with your Shavuot Nishma Venotel? So I could have come to court, testified, imposed the Shavuot, and there would have been no financial consequence. As long as it's not a Vadai financial consequence that I could have imposed, that's not Korban Shavuot Eidos. Ella, so the case must be slightly different. Kagon Shishneim Chshudin. Right, both of them are suspect. Like, who's going to do business, you know, with a chasha? Yes, another chasha. Like we were talking about the wedding of the gamblers, you know, a couple of weeks ago, when all the Edom are besach gemekuvia too, because that's their friends, right? A Las Vegas wedding. So ele kagon sheshneim chashudim. So they're both chashudim. Oh, the Omar Mar. This is really a debate later on in the end of the Masechta, right in the seventh parak. What do you say when Shneim Chashudim? Do we say, you know, Yachloku? Right? Do we say that the Shvuah just goes away? Or do we say what the Gemara says? Here we say, Domamar Chazra Shvuah Lemechuyevla, Mitoch Sheinachal Shava, Mishalem, famous line in the Gemara. Meaning, really, Minat Torah, the Nitva, is the one who's obligated to take Shvuah. Midrabanan, in a case of Chashud, they switch it on to the Toveh. That's what you mean. Nishba v'notel takes the Shua and he takes, as opposed to Nishba v'niftar, right? But if Shneim Chashudim, so Chazra Shua l'mechuyevla, back goes to the Nitva, the Eino Yachal Lishava, he can't take the Shua, so Tok Shein Echal Lishava, Mishal. That's what we sometimes, you know, when we say Mitok. We don't mean the Yontif one. You know, this is one of the main ones that we mean. Okay. What's the other case of Eidachon? We'll discuss both of these in a second. Hakomodim, if you think that's a difficult case, right? But in any case, that you understand, that's a case where we know in advance that both of them are chashudim. Right? So it's a fait accompli. If I can get this guy to come to court to impose a Shavuot Daraisa, right? There's no other variables. It's going to turn into a chiyuv mum. It's going to convert into tashlumin. Although there's a process here, so there's still a chiddush that I want to talk about. The main point to talk about. But before we get to that, the other case shares it in common. Hakomodim beidecha drababa. The famous naska drababa. Which appears here. It also appears later on, you can see, on daf mem zayin amud aleph. And appears in Baal Basra and Cheskes Abad. Alright? What is the case of naska drababa? Tahu Gavra, the Chotaf Naska Michavre, one of the most famous cases, right? The Rambam is so enamored with this case that he always mentions it by name, and at least three different, he expands it, you know, Nechus Gzela, Nechus Toe, Nechus Malva, and he always says Vahu, or Vahainu, you know, Naska Rabba, the famous case of the Gemara. Like, it's very rare that the Rambam, you know, refers repeatedly, very rare that refers at all. I mean, codifies cases of the Gemara, but like refers to them as like a known case, like, you know, like you would invoke, oh, it's like the famous Supreme Court case of, you know, Rosenzweig versus Rosenzweig or whatever it is. You know, so it's like, oh, the famous Naska Rababa. That's how celebrated it became. Or either way. Okay. Dahu Gavra the Chotaf Naska Michavre, right? One fellow grabbed a piece of silver or whatever it was from the other fellow, right? Also the Kame Drabami. Rabbi Yasser Rababa Kame, Rabami Rababa was sitting there. And Ozal Aisi Chad Sada Dimichtav Chotva Mine. And he brought there was only one aide who witnessed this, and he witnessed that, you know, that actually this is what took place, that Reuven grabbed a piece of silver from Shimon. Correct? So the Gemara says, Amale, so they confronted Reuven, who, you know, was seen to have done this action, and he said, in Chotvi, Medidi Chotvi, he said, it's true, what you saw is absolutely true, I did take the piece of silver, but what you don't know is the past history, which is that I was just retrieving my stolen, you know, or my deposit, whatever it was, it's my silver to grab. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Om Ravami." Ravami said, "Heichle daini daini lahaydina." Well, what should the dayanim do? Right, they were at a loss. What's the problem? And The problem is in the statement of the problem, because the all Rishonim had just trouble figuring out what the big deal was. And it is a big deal, because it's Natsuka Rababa, and this is how we paskin, right? The Pashtus, one would think that the Eid Echad is an Eid Echad, right? Eid Echad is Mechayim V'Shua. So, you know, if you didn't have the subtlety, I guess, of Rab Abba and Rab Ami and so on, you know, you would have just thought that the answer here is very simple. Right? There's Eid Echad, he's Mechayev Shvua, and you take the Shvua. What do you say in the Shvua? In Chatfi, Vididi Chatfi. You clarify with the Shvua what it is that took place. And I'm Patur, because while what you saw is true, right, the background, you know, exonerates me. But the Gemara didn't think that this was possible, as you will see. L'shalem, well, maybe he should just pay straight. Right? Like a Trey Saadi. There aren't two Edim. And he claimed he's innocent. We don't have two Edim that say he's guilty. Lifteray, that doesn't sound so bad either. I mean, he claims that he did nothing wrong. He's Kofar HaKol in a way, right? He doesn't admit to any guilt. Lifteray. Okay, so what? Exactly. The Gemara thinks that that's really somehow very like an indictment against him. There's an Eid Echad who saw him grab the money. Okay, he's not denying that. He's explaining it, right? Lishtaba, that seems like the real solution, right? Let him take a Shvua. Kivin damar in Chatfi, Vididi Chatfi, says the Gemara, Avalei Kegazlan. Since he says, I grabbed it, he admits that he grabbed it, even though he's claiming that he's retrieving his own property, he's a why is he a Gazlan? Exactly. Amalei Baba. So the solution is, Havalei Mechuyev Shua Ben Yachal Yishava, Mechala Mechuyev Shua Ben Yachal Yishava, Meshalem. Wow. Like, why can't he just take this Shua? The whole Gemara is very perplexing. And that's why it's one of the most complicated sugyas, and the Rishonim spilt a lot of ink, you know, trying to explain what the tzadim are here. What's the problem? Why can't it just be nishba to take you know the shvua to clarify what took place? So we'll get back to that in a second. It's very relevant to the bigger question that we're interested in, which is the nature of Eid Echad. Before we get though, let's just finish out, just close out the Shaka Vitari of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, anyways, these are the two cases where everybody admits that an Eid Echad is going to be chayv a korban shvus edus, because in both of these cases, right, if the Eid Echad comes forward, then it is inevitable that this will convert into a chayv mamon, and that's enough for korban shvus edus. Again, is that so pashut? It is inevitable that there'll be a chayv mamon by virtue of mitos sheni chalishav mishalim. But is that enough for Korban Shavuos? Is it so obvious that that's enough for Korban Shavuos Eidos? Right? If you take the view that fundamentally Eid Echad and the capacity of Eid Echad to be Mechayev Shvua belongs to the world of Eidos and Mamon, then this is very compelling. Right? Because here you have a situation, there's Befoal Mamon and there's conceptually Mamon. But if you take the view that Eid Echad is fundamentally only Mechayev Shvua, right? Even though Befoal it ends up turning into Mamon because he can't take the Shvua here, right? It shouldn't be so obvious that you should be Chayev Korban Shvuas Eidos. In a way, right? It's the flip opposite case of the Rimigash, right? And especially for the Rimigash, meaning, right? The Rimigash read Rabbi Lazar Rav Shimon in the Hava Mina as saying what? Even though Eid Echad is not really Befoal Mechayev Yumamon, he's never ever going to be Mechayev Yum more than a Shvua. And in most cases, it's not a case of Mitosh Sheni Chalishav Mishal. You could take that Shvua. Nonetheless, when the Gemara says Eid Echad Kiyasa, right? The Mamon Asa, what we're saying is, Al Pidin, conceptually, Eid Echad belongs to the world of Eidos, right, and Kat, and therefore Shvua, right, is masking a Chiyuv Mamon of some sort. I'll explain that in a minute, right? And therefore, even though befall, there's no mamon, since conceptually it's called a din Torah over mamon, yechayev korban shvuos eidos. That was the Hava Mina according to the Rimigash. And then, what are the Rimigash's conclusion? No, really, if that were true, apparently that would be enough for korban shvuos eidos. Right? But in fact, it's not true. Because Eid Echad is really Mechayev Shvua, he's not Mechayev Mamon. But now the Gemara is saying that there can be cases of Eid Echad, right, where, while Befoal, there's Mamon, it's still through by means of Chayev Shvua and Mechayev Korban Shvua Seidus. It's not a contradiction, it's not a problem, but it's an interesting flip. Now, the Hava Mina, according to the Rimigash's reading, was Chetza Shel Mamon, Beli Mamon Befoal, is Koveya for Korban Shvuos Eidos. And now we have a case in the continuation where if you read the Rimigash this way, you have a case where there's no Chetza Shel Mamon here, but there's Befoal Mamon, and that is enough for Korban Shvuos Eidos.
Why isn't this a continuation of what we discussed before about Dovah Dorian Mamon Kamamon Domi? Because you know, when he was asked to give the Eidos at that moment, he had no idea.
No, he does. I mean,
he had no idea that the Nitva was going to say what he was going to say. In other words, he didn't know.
No, he said it already. But let's assume for the moment. You were talking about Rabbah case or the Chashuv case or both?
Rabbah.
So let's assume, I hear what you're saying, so maybe...
At that point,
the guy already said in Chatev.
Is later on, he says, I took it.
Right.
That's maybe, like after the Eidos.
Well, is it clear in the Gemara? I'm not even sure.
I'm like, I took
it. One second.
I took my own. That was a response to the Eidos.
That's a good question. I'm guessing that, even though that's the order that
that's
Gemara...
The goes to
yeah. I hear. So he's saying, right, how do you know that? How do you know what he's going to say? And that if he said, lo chatafti, you're saying, then he'd just be chai v'shua.
Right.
It's a good question. I'm not aware that anybody asked it. I guess I'm assuming that they, that they just assume that while the Gemara develops it this way in the Shaka Vitaria, but that the guy, the nitzvah's, in other words, initial response was chotfi v'didi chot.
Let's start from the very beginning about the Eidos, and he starts yelling, I took it, but it was mine, I took it.
Yeah.
So that's
even before the Eid Echad. Yeah. Then you know that if he comes forward, there's going to be... I think you have to say that, because either way, otherwise you're right. Why is it ever... From his perspective, why is it ever more than one second? Who got the Chazanaska? Yossi. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good horror. I just think you have to say the other way, but you're right. And the way the Gemara presents it, I'm not sure why no one asked that question. Or maybe they do. I'm just not familiar. No, the Rishonim definitely don't ask it. I'll try to look around.
Why doesn't it become a Nishba Venotel case? By Nasa Rababa.
Why would it be a Nishba Venotel case?
Well, because he can't take the Shua, so why doesn't he...
Yeah, but he can't take the Shua, not because of Chashud, he can't take the Shua, we'll see in a moment, because it's not that Chachamim won't let him. It's that he is either Pasul Lishvua in this case, and we'll see in a moment, Or worse than that, it's the nature of what the Shavua is. I mean, I'll tell you what Rashi says right away. But
why doesn't he have to?
No, I'm saying there's no because that's a dindra banan of Nishma Venotel. They're metakein that whenever you have a chashud, that instead of instead of saying something more radical, so the best solution is to be mahapik the Shavua on the Notel. But he's not a chashud.
He's a dazlan.
That's worse. Right?
He's chashud.
He's not chashud, he's a gazan, he's pasul l'shvua. Lagamri.
So what's a chashud?
A chashud is somebody who's suspect and we won't let him take a shvua. But he's still in the parsha. Right? There's no takana for that case.
You mean Why is he choshev?
Because of previously he's lied in Shavuos and so on.
Like
no, this guy's a Goslin on this in this case. Yeah. We'll see in a moment what Goslin means, but whatever. Okay. So just to finish up the Shaka Vatarya just for another minute, and then we'll go back. The Gemara concludes. Amar Papa Hakomodim Be'ed Misa Shu Chayev. Hakomodim Be'ed Misa Shu Patur. Again, what does this mean? Hakomodim Be'ed Misa Shu Patur. The Amar La Ledida. Right? Velo Amar Lahu Lebezdin. Meaning he, the Eid Echot, tells the woman, yeah, I saw your husband. You know, I saw the body. So the truth is, once she knows that, Eid Mipiyed is effective. Right? So him staying away doesn't cost her anything. Right? Ditznan, Ha'isha Shomru, Meis Bali, Tinase, Meis Bali, Tisyabim. Okay. Hako Modim, Be'ed Misa Shu Chayiv, Dilo Amar Lelida, Velo Amar Lebez. And he would tell anybody. And then the Gemara concludes, Shema Minamash Be'ed Karka Chayiv, right? Because these Ksuva cases are cases of Gviyam and Chasim and Shabadim, so it sounds like Korban Shua says this applies even to Karka. We'll get back to that. And the Gemara says, no, Dilma the Tvisa Metalfli. Maybe this is Ksuva, in which there is a Gviyah from Metalfli. Okay. So that is the Shaka Vatarya. Should I add that the last piece where the Gemara talks about Eidecha B'Misas Habal and the Gemara assumes Korban Shua Se'edus is also, just like Eidecha B'Sota is an interesting test case. And you might be mechalik between them, although they're parallel questions in one respect. Namely, is it Eidus, is it Nemanus, Psulim work, Sheirim work, is there a difference between the Sheirim and the Psulim? That's one part of the question. The other part of the question, though, is that in the case of Eidecha B'Sota, that's certainly Doraisa. Egla Rufa and Sot are certainly Doraisa. Eidecha B'Misas Habal has another wrinkle, and that is that there's a huge debate whether that's a Dindoraisa or a Dindorabana. Right? So, I mean, Rashi and Shabbos, and Mishnah and Shabbos on Kufman Beis says that, the Nemanos in Misas Habal is based on Afkin Rabbana L'Kiddusha Mine, but it's all really Dindorabana. The Bali Tosis al Avrashas, based on the Gemara of Isha Daiko Minseva, the Gemara Nivamos, Nisha Rabba. So the Bali Tosis generally hold that it's a Dindurabanan. But there are some Rishonim, there's a debate what the Rambam holds, very famous Vikuach between the Rivash, the series of Kuntresim that went back and forth between the Rashbats and the Rivash on this question about Eidechad B'Misas Habal and Milsud Avida Ligluye, whether that's a Din D'Oraisa Drabanan, whether it applies to Nachala or not. So it's a very, very fascinating issue. But the point is that if you take the view that Eidechad B'Misas Habal is only a Din D'Rabanan, so this is an important Gemara again, because the Gemara basically is saying that Korban Shua Sa'edos D'Oraisa, right, can be triggered by an effective, right, Eidus or Nemanus Durabanan. Essentially, Tosas on Lamed Aleph Omer Aleph, when they talked about Masachi Bekuvia, was invoking that. If you look here, just to remind everybody, Lamed Aleph Omer Aleph, Rabbanan Hudepaslu, which is the Rapapa line, Afagav Damar Lekamand, referring to this Gemara, Hako Modem Be'ed Misa Dechayiv, meaning what bothers him. You're saying Masachi Bekuvia, according to Rav Papa, is not chayiv, is chayiv korban shuas edus, right? Even though midrabanan, his edus is not going to be effective. What does that mean? That azlinan basar daraisa, right? We're working on the daraisa plane. We're ignoring the dindrabanan. Says Tosis, if you're ignoring the dindrabanan, according to Rav Papa, and misachik bekuvias is chayiv korban shuas edus, then how could it be that Eidechad B'Misas Habal would be Chayiv Korban Shuas Eidos when the effectiveness of that Eidos is also only Drabana. Right? That's what Tosa says. Afagav Domele Kamana Komod Beid Misa the Chayiv. Mishum drabanan achsherua ve'azlinam basa drabanan. Now again, it doesn't say those words in the Gemara. Mishum drabanan achsherua. Because it's not true. I mean, it doesn't say that in the Gemara. It's true according to all the Rishonim who think that a, which are many, that Eidecha b'misa sabal is drabanan. But according to the Rishonim who think Eidecha b'misa sabal is daraisa, there's no question. But this is the Bali Tosas l'shitasam, all over Shas, they do think that Eidecha b'misa sabal is a din drabanan. So they're saying, oh, so we go by drabanans. So that Tosas says, Basar travayu azlinan l'chaivo. Awesome, Kivin Drabanan Moela say do so re Yeshkan Hefsid Mamon Bemeshalohaid. Oh Khavagav Drabanan Lomahani do so midi kivin de midarai samahani machai. Tos is basically saying it doesn't go only by Drabanans or only by Doraisas. Either a shame a Doraisa or a befoal effectiveness midrabanan will trigger Korban Shwasaidas. This is very similar to what we were just talking about a minute ago. I was talking about, not Doraisa Drabanan, but I was talking about, you know, conceptually whether something is considered, you know, Mamon or not, like Eid Echad, right? If you say, according to the Rimigash, Eid Echad, also, Lemamona, even though there's no Befoal Mamon, right? And we still thought that the formal designation could be Kobeya. And then we're turning around and we're saying that Eid Echad is only Lishua Kasi, which according to the Rimigash means that it's not a din in Mamon, and yet whenever it triggers befoal achiyuv, this korban shvuah seidus, it's exactly in the parallel of what Tosa says, right? Just a slightly different application, but none of them are so posh. Okay.
The whole idea of Naskar Ababa is also drabanan.
The din of Naskar Ababa is not drabanan.
Well, finally, that say that who wins the debate, the final, that is only a din drabanan, isn't it? The fact that they make the fact that neither one can swear, and they finally say that who wins.
You're talking about Chashur? Chashur might be a Dindra Banan, but Chashur isn't really a Dindra Banan either. But Naskar Rabbah is not a Dindra Banan. Why is that Dindra Banan?
The Chat of Naskar Mithabre, right? So
yeah.
The fact that, what, so now what he said, I took it, and then who's believed?
Why is that Dindra Banan?
Well, who's believed?
We.
Imala.
Yeah.
So why would that be?
Not the Malah, I mean the Toin. Yeah, is believed.
Okay.
He says this guy took my opt. No, we'll have to explain why in a second. We'll explain it. We'll try to explain it. Okay. But that Pashas is in Doraisa. I mean, the question is, why don't we just let the guy be Nijba, Doraisa, in Chatz of Yedidichat? That's the million-dollar question in Naskar Ababa. Why don't we just let him take the Shvuah Doraisa and be mavir, be clarifying, or be masbir in chatvi v'didi chatvi? What's so terrible about that? So there are, basically, I'll explain in a second, there are two approaches to why that is, but bepashtos, both of them are daraisa. I mean, the din of toshen echad l'shava mishalem and naskar rav abba seems to be daraisa. Pashtos. Okay, so let's get back. So we have, so late, I didn't realize. So let me just, formulate the question a little better. We started off with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and the Chacham, right? And very suggestive formulation, whether Eid Echad Kiyasa L'Mamona Asar or Kiyasa L'Shvuah Asar. Then we talked about the debate between Rashi and the Rimigash regarding that Hav Amina, and we talked about it both in terms of Eid Echad. Rashi thought Eid Echad is Mechayev Mamon. Wow. Okay, that's rejected. But what's not rejected then, according to Rashi, is that maybe conceptual Eid Echad in Chiyuv Shvuah, maybe it does belong to the world of Mamon. Right? Just not true that it's before Mechayev Mamon. Fine. But the Rimigash is much more complicated on all sides. Right? There never was a Hav Amina that Eid Echad is Mechayev Mamon before. The Hav Amina was that it's enough to say that you have a Chiyuv Mamon, even if it's not before for Korban Shvuah Seidus. And that is an accurate description of Eid Echad being Mechayev Shvuah. Then the Maskana, right, becomes that Eid Echad is really only Mechayev Shvuah. It sounds like Eid Echad is not part of the Parsha of Chiyuv Mamon. At the same time, the Gemara has cases, right, whether it's Eid Echad B'Sota, Eid Echad B'Misa Sabal, right, or the two Eid Echads of Mitoshen, Echad L'Shav Meshalem, where there's going to be Befoal Chiyuv Mamon, it sounds like that's what we care about. So is that because Befoal Chiyuv Mamon is always enough? Or is it because these cases have elements, at least, of Eidos and Mammon in them. That's unclear. So what we want to figure out is, indeed, what is the status of Eid Echad Bishvua, and to what extent is it a din also in Mammon. So part of the discussion could really zero in just on the two cases in the Gemara right here. Mitok Sheni Chol Sheva Mishale. Right? As we said, that seems to be a din d'oraisa. What is that based on? Somehow, what was or would have been a chiyuv shvua, right, ends up turning into or converting into a chiyuv mamon. What are the implications of that? So broadly speaking, we don't have more than a minute to talk about this now. We'll continue with it next time, and then we'll also discuss other applications of this. Broadly speaking, right, there seem to be two approaches. One approach is that a chiyuv shvua is a chiyuv shvua. And, you know, it never becomes more than that. The only thing is, and here you can say one of two things, let's best say one, that the inability to take a shvua, right, triggers a chiyuv mam. It could be a kind of knas d'oraisa, it could be a reisa. The Ravid in Hilchos She'elo, we'll try to see this next week, the Bali Tosis discusses in Hashoel and above a comma, is the din of mitos sheni chol shava mishalem limited to cases of havalei lameda, right, where he should have known better? In other words, his inability to swear is some sort of a, you know, makes him more suspect, makes it more likely that he's a liar, or where it's a kind of what we call knas d'oraisa, meaning the fact that he's not in a position to take this shvua is, you know, due to the fact that he's a chashud, the fact that he took the law into his own hands, right? You know, avid nishdina d'nafshei, you know, we paskin, you know, love it in nishdina d'nafshei. Even if it's his, that's not the right way to do it. He should have, you know, followed a proper procedure. So one way to look at the Toshen Echol Shavim Mishalim is that while the consequence is a mamon consequence, it doesn't alter the fact that the Mechayiv of the Shvua, in this case the Eid Echad, and the Chetz Shel Shvua remain a Shvua, and they remain far from Dinei Mamon. They're not mamon. That's one approach. The opposite approach is to say that the ability of Shvua to turn in, or to be converted into a Chiyuv Mamon already reflects the fact that the mechayiv of the shvua and the, maybe even the chefza shel shvua itself have mamon elements, or maybe even stronger. And in some formulations, this appears, Rajba and Baba Basra, I'll try to bring in next week, as a kind of looking at shvua almost as a ptur tashlumim, and as Eid Echad is mechayiv mamon. Just like, you know, the language of Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shiva. And maybe even for more than what the Rimi Gash says, not just because he's Omed Letziruf Imacher. Maybe an Eid Echad fundamentally is an aid, it's Eidus. He could be Mechayiv Mamon. But since it isn't Emes Gemura, because he didn't filter out the delusions, or Gzeros HaKasav, or to reach the state of, you know, Emes, you know, without any kind of Chashash, you know, based on Chesed's Ka, for that you need two aid. But, you know, you need a rabbi. It's not enough to have a yachid. There could be various reasons for it. Maybe it isn't about delusion. Maybe it's just about that status alone. But the point is that all things being equal, Eid Echad belongs to the world of Eidos. And it's Mechayiv Mamon. So the concession is that there's a Ptur Shvua, but Lu Yitzura, you can't take the Shvua for whatever reason. So you don't have the Ptur. So you're back to the Chiyuv. The Rivam in Bava Basra and the Ramban and some others formulated somewhere, I guess, in between. What they say is the Chiyuv Shvua, or at least in the case of Eid Echad, the Mechayiv of Eid Echad is to create an alternative. Eid Echad is Mechayiv you either to pay or to swear. Again, it has the same effect. It's not as strong as what I just said a second ago, where Eid Echad is Mechayiv Mamon, but you have a Ptur Shvua. Shmuel is a Ptur Tashlomin, but it's an alternative Chiyuv. But the point is that there's a capacity of Chiyuv Mamon built into Eid Echad. Then it's not that the Reisa or the Knas of not taking the Shmua, right, has a life of its own or transforms Shvuah into Mamon or something of that sort, but it is embedded in and reflected already in the Koach of Eid Echad to begin with. So Mitoshen Echol Shavu Meshalem, right, isn't an exceptional case. It's something that highlights, right, the true nature of Eid Echad. Right? So later on, the Gemara, Mem Amud Aleph, we'll discuss this next week as well, has a very famous line where the Gemara says, Kol makom sheshnayim b'chayiv v'nosa mamon, Eid Echad b'chayiv shvua. Whenever two Eidim can extract mamon, one can trigger a shvua. So there's a debate among the Rishonim. Gemara says it in a certain context. We'll talk about it next week. There's a debate among the Rishonim how seriously to take that line, that klal in the Gemara. Okay, because it seems like there are some exceptions. Karka, Knas, there might be other, Shtei Kesef, might or might not be, whatever. So some of the Rishonim, whenever they are, you know, faced with the possibility of an exception, say, no big deal. It's not a legal statement. It's more like my phraseology. It's more like a, you know, summary statement. Like if you want to remember about, you know, the status of Eid Echad, a good rule of thumb is to say, when Shnayim are Mechayiv Mamon, usually Eid Echad is Mechayiv Shua. But there's no causal or it's not a force in its own right, right? It's not a principle. It's a mnemonic device. So of course there are other exceptions. And the other view of the Rishonim is this is a hard and fast rule. Any exceptions really need to be justified because this is a principle, not just a consequence. That's part of this question. Do you deal with the dinim or any of the dinim of Eid Echad in Hilchos Eidos or all in Hilchos Toin V'Nitan and Hilchos Shua? The Rambam in Perek Hei of Hilchos Eidos, Halacha Gimel, says Eid Echad for Shua needs to be a kosher. The Kesef Mishnah says, I don't know, how did the Rambam know that? Okay. There might even be some Cholkim connected to the Rambam, day in the Mordechai. Obviously, the large, vast majority of the Rishonim in the Poskim, 95, 99, I don't know what it is, say that Eid Echad b'Shua needs to be kosher. But the discussion itself is very fascinating, right? The Kesef Mishnah is saying, how do you know that? Then he says, I think because Eid Echad b'Shua needs to be omeid letziruf to mechayiv shnayim eidim. Okay? In other words, he asks the question and then, you know, he reverses himself. So what I want to do is examine these issues, a bunch of them. It's a massive topic, but at least we'll spend a little, you know, a shiur or so, or a shiur or two, just to talk a little more about Eid Echad, because it also spills over, as we've explained, into Korban Shavuos Eidos. Because you definitely are chayiv Korban Shavuos Eidos in the Mitoch cases, as we say. Are those examples just a befoal kosher mishpat, or are they really dinim of Eidos and Eidim and Kat? Okay, so that we'll continue with next time.